in a tangible sense, you don't always see it, you don't always feel it happen. But for many people, when they trust the Lord, that's exactly what happened. And I read a story yesterday about a fellow whose name was Krakowicz. And he's Polish. I spoke to Mirek Marczak about him last evening. But when Krakowicz got saved, that's exactly what happened. He was in deep trouble for many, many months. He knew that there was a God, and he knew that he was a sinner. And he said, this is a terrible situation, because I know that God is great and wonderful, and I know that I'm not. And what can possibly bring the two of us together? And his story was very unique and different. It doesn't happen like this very often. But he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And this was way back in the year 1925. He was in Warsaw. And he prayed and prayed and prayed and said, Lord, could you please tell me what to do? Could you please tell me how I could be have assurance, how I could have peace, because you're so holy and I'm so bad and I can't stand it anymore. He said, Lord, could you please tell me? And he didn't hear it, and he didn't feel it, and he couldn't read it, but it was obvious that he was supposed to phone 6002 in a particular exchange in the Warsaw phone system. He thought that was very, very peculiar. Nothing would ever happen. And anyway, the conviction stayed with him for two or three days. So he got on the phone and he said, this is very strange, but he said, I'm in deep distress of soul and I need to know how to get peace with God. And is there anybody at your number, 6002, who could help me? And it was Zabrowski was on the other end of the line. And Mr. Zabrowski said, you phoned the right phone number. And 3 days later, Mr. Krakowicz became a Christian. And the change in his life was so dramatic. And though I read it yesterday, I can't remember his precise words. But he said, what a wonderful thing it was. He says, my life was completely changed. He didn't say heaven came down and glory filled his soul, but it was just like that. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says the Lord Jesus says you're born again, and it's absolutely wonderful. And sooner or later, you just sing it with all kinds of gusto, and you say, what a wonderful day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. It's the book of Luke that we're going to consider this morning. Luke chapter 7. We were here last Sunday. Some of you, most of you were here last Sunday. And we got into the story. We just didn't get it finished. We're going to read the story again this morning. Luke chapter 7. And then some more thoughts on this amazing story about this man, Simon the Pharisee. And a sinner woman who was there, and the fact that Simon the Pharisee had ears to hear. His name Simon means hearing. He was hearing, but he didn't hear the right way. You got to be careful how you hear. We want to hear the right way. I'm going to see if we can learn a little bit more about how to hear the right way this morning. Here's the story. Let's enjoy it together. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. It says, and one of the Pharisees desired the Lord Jesus Christ that he would eat with him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ went into the Pharisee's house and sat down or reclined to meet. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat down at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Lord, we pray that you'll just open our understanding as we contemplate this amazing story. And pray, Lord, that we might be responsive as we hear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think last week we talked about the fact that there were four different Simons that Luke talks about. He talks about Simon, Simeon, the man who is part of the Christmas story, who saw the little baby Jesus, and he believed, as the Spirit had told him, that that little baby was going to be the Savior of the world. And then there was Peter, and he was progressively responsive as he learned more and more about the Lord and about how great a sinner he was. He was more and more responsive to the Lord as he heard. And then there's this man, Simon the Pharisee. I'm going to tell you this morning that he resisted what he heard. And if you go over to the book of Acts, there's Simon the sorcerer, and he was another hearer. He didn't hear to learn. He heard in order to manipulate to his own advantage. And we're not going to go into those others this morning. But we want to be the kind of hearer who hears the truth of God and responds, don't we? Isn't that what it's all about? That's what a teacher teaches. He's called the teacher here. The Lord Jesus Christ is our teacher, so that we will hear and respond. Well, the story begins with, I'm not sure how far back to go to fill you in on the story from last week. But the Lord Jesus Christ goes to Simon's house for lunch. I'm not sure why Simon wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to be there. He invited him over. There must have been some reason why Simon invited him for dinner. I sometimes wonder if he didn't invite him to find mistakes in him, to find fault in him. It's quite possible, you know, for people to study to find out what's wrong with everybody. I could never understand it when I went to university. They often used to say, now, criticize this particular author or criticize this particular logic. And I said to myself, if he doesn't know what's right, why are you having me study him anyway? Why would I want to criticize somebody who's got all the right answers? And if he's got all the wrong answers, then why don't you, professor, let me study somebody who's got the right answers, please? Anyway, that was just a problem that I had when I was a student. The Lord Jesus Christ has the right answers. And so we must study him in order to understand the right answers. I'm not sure why Simon invited him for lunch, but it was very smart of him to invite him for lunch. If you get a chance to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, you spend a lot of time with him. And so he did. He went there for lunch, and you'll remember that this sinner woman got up behind him, and she started to weep, and she anointed his feet with the ointment, and she wiped the feet with her hair. And it's all a very interesting story. Verse 44 says, "And the Lord Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? He says, I entered into your house, but you gave me no water for my feet." When was the last time you had a guest? And you said to him, "Now, listen, I'd like to give some water for your feet." The guest would say, I had a shower this morning. You know, I don't really need water for my feet. But it was different in those days. This was 2,000 years ago. The streets were very, very dusty. And the weather was very, very hot. And the perspiration on the feet would cause the dust to coagulate on the... And frankly, the feet were dirty. But not only were the feet dirty, the feet were... They were hot. And you just... With cakey, dirty feet, you just don't feel that good. And so there was a custom in those days that a guest would be honored by the host having someone wash the feet for the guest. And so refreshing it would be, but it's also so honoring or so respect-giving. And if you wanted to show respect, you'd wash the feet. And if you wanted to be refreshed, you'd ask that your feet be washed. And I think it was discussing this with my sister a couple of days ago. She told me this story. She said, "You know, the day our father died, I said to him, 'Dad, would you like me to wash your feet?'" And she said, amazingly, he said, "Yes." And so probably mid-afternoon of the day my father died, at about 7 o'clock in the evening, my sister washed his feet, probably because for him it was refreshing. For her, she did it because she wanted to honor him. What else could she do? Here's a man dying. He's in great discomfort. You could say to him, "Well, do you want to, would you like to go shopping? Would you like me to buy you a new suit? Would you like me to wash your feet?" He said, "Yes." She said, "I will." I was moved by that story. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. If he were to come in here today, would you like to show him respect? You would, wouldn't you? You do something to respect him, to show him that great respect. He's got these feet. They're marvelous feet. These feet have gone with the wonderful message of the gospel. It's Isaiah who tells us in Isaiah 52 that they are beautiful feet on the mountain. How beautiful are the feet on the mountain of those who come with the good news? He had beautiful feet because he went everywhere with good news. He should have been given respect, shouldn't he? Those feet went to take him to a place to work. And as he worked, he did so much wonderful, good work. And he healed the sick. And he taught the ignorant. He fed the hungry. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. Wouldn't you want to respect him? What's the matter, Simon the Pharisee? Couldn't you respect him? Wouldn't you want to refresh him, Simon? But you see, he didn't. You and I say, "Lord, what could we do to respect you? Lord, what could we do to refresh you. We'd like to do it, wouldn't we? He didn't say, the Lord didn't say to Simon, Simon, you didn't wash my feet, you know. He said, Simon, you didn't give me water. I could have washed my own feet, Simon, if you'd given me some water. He didn't even give him water. He didn't do very much to respect him. He probably actually somewhat ignored him, almost of disrespect. We live in a world today, you know, that disrespects the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm amazed, it's not politically acceptable to talk about him in public. But when you do, a lot of people show a great deal of disrespect for him. Would you make sure that you show much respect for Jesus and you do everything you can to refresh him? And so the woman came in, she didn't have water, but she had tears. And she stood behind him and wept. Why did she weep? Well, she would be weeping, wouldn't she, because she knew she was a sinner. She would be weeping because she knew how wonderful he was and how needy she was. The whole thing overwhelmed her. Do we not live in a dispassionate age? You're supposed to be stoical, and you're never supposed to reveal emotion. Absolute nonsense. Life is to be full of emotion. And I suppose that if you were trying to woo that girl and impress upon her how wonderful you were, if you asked her to marry you and you didn't have any emotion, she's likely to say no. Just remember that. Okay, it's an emotional activity. And the Lord Jesus Christ is someone who comes right to where we are in all our needs, but he comes to our hearts as well. Let the emotions flow. Let Jesus thrill your emotion. And then the Lord goes on and he says, she washed my, sorry, where are we here? Verse 45, thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. There's the showing of respect. There's the showing of refreshment. There is the accepting of the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. And then there is the devotion of the heart. A lot of people say, you know, I love the Lord Jesus. I'm a Christian. I say, oh, that's very, very interesting. What do you do to kiss him? Do you ever reach out and say, Lord, I want to get really, really, really close to you. I love you. The word kiss here apparently is related to that Greek word for love, phileo, and it simply means to respond with great affection. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you know, we don't want to get too much emotional about all this. Of course you do. And if, in fact, there is respect, and if there is a desire to refresh, that must be shown in an affection. If the Lord Jesus Christ came in here, we probably would want to kiss his feet, wouldn't we? We should. You say, well, that's a little, yeah, I know. But you see, the problem with Simon was he was so dispassionate, he didn't want to kiss the feet or anything else. He was happy to stand aloof, back from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be that. Get as close to him as you can. It's strange, you know, the way people go. And here's another story for you. These stories don't happen every day, but I heard this story from Boyd Nicholson, Jabe Nicholson's father, and it goes like this. He was traveling once, and he was very, very lonely, and he was a long way from home. He was sitting at the breaking of bread one Sunday morning, and in the congregation that he was in, they sat around the table. The bread and the wine were on the table, and the chairs were on all four sides of the table, which is a good picture because Jesus Christ was in the midst, you see, and they were on all four sides. And as he was sitting there, he just uttered a secret prayer. Nobody heard him, but he just said, Lord, would you please give me a kiss? Okay, now can you imagine praying a prayer like that? Lord, would you please give me a kiss? It's interesting, as we read the story, did you note that Simon said within himself, who is this man? And the Lord answered him and said, I'm going to tell you a story, Simon. It's amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ read that man's mind. He knew exactly what he was thinking, and he answered. And here's Boyd Nicholson sitting around this table, breaking bread one morning and saying, Lord, would you please give me a kiss? I would like a kiss. And when the meeting was over, there was a little girl sitting on the far side, and she ran across the room, threw her arms around him, and gave him a great big kiss. There's a God in heaven, you know. He loves us. And he's happy to kiss us, and he wants us to respond and to kiss him. And then the verse goes on, verse 46. It says, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. In the Old Testament, there were three people who were anointed. One was a priest. And if a man like Aaron was going to be priest, he had to be anointed by God. And Moses poured some oil on his head and rubbed it in and anointed him to be a priest of the Most High God. The kings were similarly anointed. The prophets were similarly anointed. And here's this man, Simon. And the Lord Jesus comes into his house and he says, now, Simon, you've got a problem. You call me teacher, but you didn't anoint my head. Simon says, I guess I'm happy to listen to this man, but I'm not going to anoint him my priest. Who is your priest? The priest is the one who brings you to God. Have you anointed the Lord Jesus Christ as priest in your life, saying, Lord, what I want is someone who will bring me to God. I need a priest in order to get access to God. Jesus Christ is that priest. No other man can do it for you. No other woman can do it for you. As Chu told us so clearly earlier this morning, no other religion can do it for you. But Jesus Christ is the one who is to bring you to God. Now, the Lord had to say to Simon, Simon, you did not invite me to lunch in order that I could bring you to God. You didn't come for that reason, Simon. You should have. But you see, you didn't come for that reason. Patrick, could you please just speak to our friends who've just come in? Thank you. There were three anointings. The first was the anointing of the priest. But there's another anointing, and that is the anointing of a king. David was anointed to be king. And so the question to Simon was, Simon, you didn't make me the priest in your life. Simon, why didn't you anoint me to be king? What's the difference between a priest and a king? Well, the answer is the priest is the governor, the agent from the Lord for the spiritual life. And the king is the agent from the Lord for the secular life. Have you anointed the Lord Jesus Christ to be king over your secular life? Now, Prime Minister Trudeau is the Queen's agent responsible for Canada. I suggest that you obey him. I suggest that you honor him. He's prime minister. And if you don't honor him and his agents, you can go out onto the street in Vancouver and you can do a lot of things and you'll get into deep trouble. And if you're not careful on the income tax side of it, you might meet Mr. St. Peel on the wrong side of the argument. They're all appointed by the Lord to be in charge of our secular life. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I want you to anoint me to be your king over your secular life. And a lot of people say, I'm happy to have Jesus Lord over my spiritual life, but I'll do what I jolly well want with the rest of my life. And God says, no, that's not right. The Lord Jesus Christ must be anointed king over the spiritual life. He must be anointed king over the secular life. But remember, he was anointed prophet as well. And this was the big issue that was here. The Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, said if he were a prophet, you know, he'd know who this woman was. Fact is, Simon, you didn't anoint him to be prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is someone who will clearly tell you what is going to happen in the future. Would it be wise to listen to a prophet? Of course it would. If there's a prophet who's prepared to tell you about the future, you'd want to know, wouldn't you? I tried to think of illustrations of this. It's so obvious, but surely you want to know what the future is. Now, how many of you, raise your hand, if you ever listen to a weather report before you go out in the morning? Okay? Sure, you want to know what to wear, don't you? Okay, and if it's going to rain, take an umbrella. And if it's going to be scorching hot, then... Yeah, take an umbrella. That's very good. And of course, if it's going to be very, very cold, put on an extra coat. And if you're going to be at the graveside on Wednesday, it's going to be cold. Okay? So put on an extra coat. We do all that. When I was a boy, I used to hear about people who were very, very simple. Almost dumb, I guess. And we used to say about them, they didn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. You know, if it's raining and you're outside, you're probably going to get wet. And after that, you'll get cold. And after that, you'll be miserable coming in out of the rain. You look at the future to find out what to do in the present, don't you? That's what it's all about. Who's your prophet? Did you anoint the Lord Jesus Christ as Simon did not? Did you anoint him to be your prophet? If you anoint him to be your prophet, you're going to know what's going to happen in the future, and your life is going to be organized accordingly, and things are going to go wonderfully, and you're going to end up in heaven forever. And if you don't, you won't. What a terrible thing. To ignore Jesus Christ, the prophet. He's the only one who can tell you about tomorrow. If I were Mr. Obama, if I were Mr. Trudeau, I'd sit down and I'd take a crash course in biblical prophecy. And I'd read it and 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 read it, because if you don't, how can you possibly prepare your country for tomorrow? But you've got a life, and I've got a life, and you've got a family, and I've got those who follow me. How could I possibly lead them? How could you possibly lead them? If you didn't know the future, how are you going to learn the future? You're going to read prophecy. You're going to anoint Jesus Christ as prophet. Jesus Christ as priest is king over the spiritual life. Jesus Christ as king is Lord over the secular life. Jesus Christ as prophet is Lord over the intellectual life. And you will never think clearly unless you anoint Jesus Christ as prophet. And if you do, you will not only know the future, but you will know why the future. The Bible prophecy is marvelous. Biblical prophecy tells you what the Lord is planning to do and why he's planning to do it. How easy is it to learn prophecy? Wouldn't you like to know how God thinks? Wouldn't you like your intellect reprogrammed so that you now think like God rather than thinking like the world out there? How could you do that? Well, you'd read prophecy so that you would know the future and you would know why the future. And if you knew the future and why the future, why then you would be intellectually prepared. Harry Ironside was what he called an omnivorous reader. That's what it was, an omnivorous reader. That means he read everything. When he was a younger man, he said that he wanted in his life to know everything that was important to know. He had the ability to read faster than me. He basically could read any book in an hour. And which gave him the opportunity to read many books. And of course, he read many, 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 many books. And he was able to understand a lot. He never graduated from high school, but he had several doctorate degrees. Never having gone to university, they just gave them to him as honorary degrees because he was, okay. This is what he said. He said, never call a man educated who doesn't know this book. And he said, never call a man uneducated who does know this book. How are you going to learn to think like God? You read prophecy. How important is prophecy? I checked in my Bible. From Isaiah chapter 1 to Malachi chapter 4, that's the prophetic section of the Bible. And if you add in the book of Revelation, which is also prophetic, you've got a number that's greater than 20% of your Bible. If you add in the prophetic sections of other parts of your Bible, you'll be up to probably 25% of your Bible. Prophecy, what God is going to be doing tomorrow. Why so many pages devoted to prophecy? Answer, because I am a very slow learner. I'm a slow reader, but I'm a slow learner. And so the Lord said, now, Harold, you're not going to get all this prophecy stuff by sitting down and taking a 15-minute course. You can go to university. You can get a course called, you can get a, find a book somewhere, I suppose, called Prophecy Made Simple. But prophecy isn't simple. And you're never going to be able to pass the prophecy course if you're looking for something simple. If you're going to learn to think like God, you're going to have to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ as your prophet, and you're going to have to say, listen, I want to think like God. I want to know the future. Lord, I want to anoint you, my prophet. I'm going to read that 20% of my Bible, and I'm going to reread that 20% of my Bible. Simon, what's wrong? Simon didn't respond. Simon resisted. Simon said, listen, I don't need Jesus Christ to be my priest. Simon, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your priest, you're never going to go to heaven. Simon didn't say, I need Jesus Christ to be my king. Simon, if Jesus Christ is not going to be your king, your secular life is going to be a disaster. There's no alternative. Simon didn't say, I need the Lord Jesus Christ to be my prophet. I will anoint him to be my prophet. Simon, if you don't, you'll never understand God. You'll never understand your future. Simon, instead of being in heaven, you'll be in hell. Simon, instead of going the right direction, you're going to be going the wrong direction. And instead of coming in out of the rain, you're going to stay there long enough until the storm crashes over you, and you're not going to make it home. Two people in this story. Simon, the Pharisee, who had all the knowledge and all the potential, and he resisted the pleadings of God. And this wicked woman, this sinner woman, who realized she was a sinner and snuck into that house uninvited that day, took her little box of perfumed ointment, oil, and simply poured it on his feet and wept. And did it, and through it all, she was basically saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord Jesus says what happened. He says in the last verse, verse 50, he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Why did she do it? She believed that that wonderful man of God, the one that she had seen walk through the town, maybe on many occasions before, she believed that he was able to save her. She said, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And it was that faith that saved her. And she proved that faith. Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto her, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. She proved her faith by loving the Lord Jesus Christ. That all makes sense, doesn't it? If he is king, then you anoint him as your priest. If he's the Son of God, you anoint him as your priest. You anoint him as your king. You anoint him as your prophet. You believe him. He'll save you. Take away your sins. Give you new life. And then love him. Poor Simon. He resisted. What a wonderful woman. When you get to heaven, you're going to meet that woman, and I think it's going to be marvelous just to sit down and say, could you please tell us that story? I'd kind of like to hear it from your point of view. What happened that day? She's going to be there, you know. How do you know that? Why, your sins were forgiven, that's why. What a wonderful story. Lord, we're thankful that you tell us these stories. We're fearful, Lord, that some of us might be resisting like Simon. And what a terrible thing it would be to resist the God of heaven. Lord, help each one of us to say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my priest. Lord Jesus, I want you to be my king. Lord Jesus, I want you to be my prophet. And I want you to help me. And I want you to take away my sins. And I want to have eternal life. And Lord, would you just help me to love you a little more? Lord, we pray that you'll move in all our hearts. We're so thankful for having revealed yourself to us. We're thankful for having given us ears to hear. But Lord, what fools we would be. What a foolish response it would be if we were to have ears to hear and then not hear. So we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.